Friday, December 22nd, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Denver, Colorado, the Mile High City. You know, we get together every weekday, we talk sports, hopefully with a dose of common sense. We are happy to have you with us today. Happy Friday to you. We have made it through another week, and much more importantly, we are this close to a long holiday weekend. If you would like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com. Go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. Hey, we have a lot to get to today. We have some huge breaking news that is going to probably stun you. Like when we announce this, you might have to sit down. We have our weekly weekend preview where we let you know some of the sports events coming up that you might be interested in tuning in for. And then, of course, we will have to get to a very popular segment on the show, the Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way that is going to go. But trust me on this, it is holiday flavored today, and you are going to want to make sure that you stick around for that one. We are going to get to everything right after this. Okay, I realize that we're a sports podcast, but I did see this news item yesterday that I feel I need to share with you. Okay. We're going to break some news right now. Apparently, while it was long thought to just be speculation, Apple confirmed Wednesday that older models of their phones are going to slow with age.
What?
They say such slowdowns were a deliberate effort to keep older phones running longer as the battery wears down. It wasn't a push to buy a new model. Of course it wasn't. Like, far be it from Apple to strong arm us into buying their products, right? Now, that was not the only announcement they made. Yes, Apple announced older phones run a little slower. Shocking as that was. Again, I hope you were sitting down when you heard that just now. Here's some other information that they shared with us. Apparently, snow is cold. I mean, we suspected it all along. Apple confirmed it. I had also heard the rumors about this. Wasn't sure if it was true. Apple stated this yesterday as well. The Pope is Catholic. Again, I had heard the rumors. Wasn't really sure. Apple also announced there are now currently more people alive than there were when there were less people alive. Again, big news. Big news coming out of Apple yesterday. A lot of things. Apparently also, the S on the front of Superman's Superman costume stands for Superman.
What?
Things that Apple is telling us we didn't know. And they also wanted us to know that millennials and LeBron James need constant affirmation and hugs. Things coming out of Apple we just didn't know. Waiting to see if they will announce that baseball is a little bit slow. We'll wait on that. I'm on pins and needles waiting to see what else Apple is going to tell us. Hey, P. Diddy seems to be serious about buying the Carolina Panthers. I didn't really believe it when I first heard it. But it looks like Sean Diddy Combs was serious about trying to buy the Carolina Panthers. He's meeting with potential investors in hopes of shaping a prospective ownership group. That's according to Yahoo Sports. Combs said on Sunday he hoped to purchase an NFL team shortly after Panthers owner Jerry Richardson announced he would be putting his franchise up for sale. You know, it was widely believed that he wasn't serious. Like, Diddy Combs is doing other things, right? Like, it probably doesn't help his case that he didn't know the Panthers apparently had Cam Newton, because he said the first thing he would do would be to bring in Colin Kaepernick and name him as the starter. A little bit odd that, like, a prospective owner wouldn't know starting quarterback of the team. And here's the other thing that is very real, because I like the idea of getting a minority ownership into the NFL. I like that idea. Here's the problem that he realistically might be facing. These owners are going to dig into his past like no other, and they better not find anything whatsoever. I mean, they're looking for a reason to not let him in. If they can keep him out of the club, oh, they're going to keep him out of the club. Hopefully he doesn't have anything in the past. We know how sometimes these things surface. Some other news in the NFL. The Seattle Seahawks were fined $100,000 on Thursday for violating the concussion protocol with Russell Wilson back on that November 9th game against the Arizona Cardinals. The Seahawks are now the first team to receive a monetary fine under the policy, where they say someone needs to go into concussion protocol. You need to get him there. You can't just send him back into the game. Here's the thing. These teams do not care. And for that matter, neither do the players. Let's say it's the Super Bowl. Game's on the line. Patriots have the ball. Need to go 80 yards for a score. Tom Brady just got hit in the head. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and assume that the Patriots will pay that fine. And if they won't, Brady would. We can play these silly games all we want. Neither side truly cares about player safety. Not sure if you saw this, former NBA referee Tim Donaghy was arrested earlier this week in Florida for aggravated assault after allegedly threatening to hit a man with a hammer. I'm not making this up. You can go look it up. On Thursday, TMZ Sports reported that Donaghy, who previously did serve prison time on federal charges for a betting scandal involving NBA games, told police he took a hammer to go get his daughter because he thought she was using drugs with a friend. While attempting to bring his daughter home, he reportedly got into an argument with the friend's father and allegedly threatened the man with a hammer. I know you might look at that and say, hey, that's proof. Donaghy's a dirty guy. He's getting into things that he shouldn't be getting involved in. Or you might look at it and say, hey, he's protecting his daughter. Whatever it might be. I don't know. Here's my take on it. Pardon Tim Donaghy for being in a bad mood. We've all been in bad moods before. Pardon Donaghy for being in a bad mood. I mean, he didn't even get invited to Kobe's retirement the other night. And you know he had a little something to do with at least one of those Lakers banners, right? He doesn't even get an invite. Hey, come on. He's a little grumpy. He's a little grouchy. Not sure if you saw this. Texas high school place kicker Kehlani Nava enjoyed a historic moment earlier this week as she helped the Strawn Greyhounds win a high school football championship down in Texas. Nava became the first female to play and score in a Texas state title game during Wednesday's Class 1A six-man Division II championship between Strawn and Balmorea at AT&T Stadium. Apparently, she hit 9 out of 10 of her extra points. Those are worth 2 points apiece in six-man football. Strawn cruised, got the 78-42 win. Good to see this. We have a female place kicker. Hey, there are some good kickers out there. There are some very, very good kickers out there. They deserve the chance. They deserve the opportunity. If they can go out there and they can win the job, they deserve that chance. Props to her. Nice job, Kehlani Nava, down in Texas. I wish you the best going forward. And whatever you do, do not sign with the University of Colorado anytime soon. I'm telling you, I've seen these things happen in the past. You're not going to want to go anywhere near Boulder, Colorado, and that football program. You know, we do this every week. We take a look at some of the upcoming events over the weekend. You have a lot to do. You have to work. You got to drive to work. You've got families to take care of. You've got chores to do. You've got Daily Dose podcasts to listen to. Whatever it is. You've got presents to wrap this weekend. Hams to can. I don't know whatever you're doing. Whatever it is that you spend your time doing, here's the deal. We here at the Daily Dose like to keep you abreast of what is coming up. It's a nice little reminder that there's something this weekend to tune in for. You might have forgotten about it. Maybe you weren't aware of a certain game coming up. We try to weed through all the stuff that's out there because we know there's a million games out there. We try to get through everything and tell you which ones are actually worth watching. So here are a few games coming up this weekend might be worth your time to tune in for. Now, starting in just a few hours, depending on when you listen to this, we have a bowl game. We have the Bahamas Bowl. And again, these times are all Mountain Standard Time, starting at 10:30 a.m. Why at 10:30 a.m.? I don't know. I guess apparently some people aren't working today. For one, I am not one of those people. But if you are, maybe you have access to be able to watch the Bahamas Bowl, tune in. You can see UAB, a program that actually disbanded for a couple years. They are back, made it to a bowl game. They're facing former Nebraska head coach Frank Solich. Probably not a great game, but if you're home on Friday morning, you didn't have to go to work that day, maybe you're home with the kids, whatever, you took the day off, Friday morning, 10:30, the Bahamas Bowl. Later that day, 2 o'clock p.m., the Idaho Potato Bowl featuring Central Michigan versus Wyoming. Again, maybe you have the day off, or maybe your boss lets you off early. I don't know about those things. I don't know how that works because my boss has never let me off early, but let's say that they did, you could go home and watch the Idaho Potato Bowl. Now, Central Michigan versus Wyoming doesn't sound like a great game. It's not a great game. But Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen, they're talking about him as a top 10 pick in this spring's upcoming NFL draft. He's actually playing in the game. Like, he didn't elect to sit out and say, I'm saving myself for the NFL. He's playing. He's not skipping it. He has battled a shoulder injury this year. But here's a chance to see if you think Josh Allen is worth a top pick. They're saying he's right up there with Darnold. He's right up there with Baker Mayfield. He's right up there with Josh Rosen. All those guys. Hey, take a look. See what you think. I'll give you the warning because I've watched Wyoming a few times this year. Doesn't have a ton of help, but this is a guy they're saying is one of the top quarterback prospects in the country. Might be worth your time to watch the Idaho Potato Bowl. And then tonight at 8:30, we have an NBA game. Might be interesting. Okay, I'm really bummed about this. I really am. I told you yesterday on the Thursday show that the Los Angeles Lakers played Houston on Thursday night. They played on Wednesday night. My mistake, I apologize, and I'm going to tell you the reason I made that mistake. I was busy watching my stupid Denver Nuggets lose to the Minnesota Timberwolves, so I missed that game. The Lakers actually beat the Rockets on Wednesday night. Chris Paul got hurt again, or maybe he's acting like he got hurt again so he doesn't have to face the Clippers tonight, either way. But the Lakers are coming off a big win against Houston, and now they get to catch a banged-up Golden State squad. Friday night, 8:30, Lakers versus Golden State? Yeah, that's not bad. That might be a pretty decent game. And again, for the record, best rookie for the Lakers, his name's not Ball, it's Kyle Kuzma. That kid's pretty good. He looks like the real deal. Of the rookies on that team, he's the guy you want to watch. But again, 8:30, Friday night, Lakers at Golden State, might be worth watching. Now on Saturday, we do have some NFL games. I'm telling you right now, they're not very good. Just so you know, there's no Thursday night game this week. They bumped those to Saturday as we get later in the season. Not great games, though. Okay, now maybe on Saturday, maybe you have about 2.5 hours free, and you say, man, I just got stuff to do. Like, we're getting close to Christmas, trying to get everything planned, all the holiday dinners, all the holiday get-togethers. I don't have a whole lot of free time on Saturday. Maybe you only have about 2.5 hours of free time. You have enough time to watch the Armed Forces Bowl at 1:30 p.m. That features San Diego State versus Army. Army has attempted 60 passes all season. Meanwhile, San Diego State running back Rashad Penny has over 2,000 rushing yards this year. I'm setting the over-under on this game at about 2 hours and 45 minutes. I might bet the under on that. These two teams are going to run and run and run. It's going to be a fast game. If you need to be done before 4:30, this should get you there. 1:30 Saturday, Armed Forces Bowl. 2 p.m. on Saturday, college basketball game that's not too bad. Number 7, Kentucky faces UCLA. You know, it's hard to tell exactly what Kentucky has this year. They're very talented, no question about that. But how good are they? Because they haven't really played anybody. They did beat Virginia Tech last week. That kind of helps us figure things out, but still kind of hard to tell. Maybe facing UCLA in this game on Saturday will give us a little more of an idea of what Kentucky has. This game is a neutral site. It's down in New Orleans, but number 7 Kentucky versus UCLA on Saturday, not a bad game. At 2:30, the NFL gets going, and we have the Indianapolis Colts going to Baltimore to face the Ravens. Now, the Ravens are sitting just outside the playoff picture right now. They need to win and hope that Buffalo or Tennessee drops a game. Meanwhile, you've got the Colts, who could literally be up like 3 touchdowns with 30 seconds left, and they would still find a way to lose. You know, I was watching the Colts a few weeks ago when Denver played them. Honestly, I barely even recognize a player on their roster. Like, I have no idea who these guys are. Frank Gore. It's about it. I don't even know anybody on that roster. Indy at Baltimore. Baltimore should win pretty easily. And then on Saturday night, we have the 6:30 game. The Minnesota Vikings head to Green Bay. Now, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers actually wanted to play in this game. It's just of no benefit to play him. There's no reason to let him play, especially when he does risk injury. Here's the thing. You know, we talk about everybody's the same. Everybody in this locker room is treated the same. We treat everybody the same here at this job. You might think of your job. Hey, guys, everybody, we treat everybody the same. Yeah, in football, that's not how that works. In sports in general, that's not how it works. That whole idea that no one's more important than anyone else, oh, yes, they are. Sports is the ultimate meritocracy. Like, if you're good, you get things that the other players don't get. Brett Hundley, you are no Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, seeing some of these young players like a Brett Hundley, you want to see him. Like, you want to know, can we depend on this guy at all? Because this season's lost for Green Bay. But what about next year? Is he a backup? Is he a guy that should even be in this league? They need to try to figure out what to do with him. Brett Hundley, you get the start. Good luck going against that Minnesota defense. Try to stay warm. Again, the Vikings still have a chance to lock up home field advantage, so it's not like they can rest people. They're going to go into Green Bay and try to kick them in the teeth. Not a great game, though. Don't think Green Bay can hang. Okay, so Friday and Saturday are a little bit lean. I'll admit that. But not so on Sunday. If you have Christmas Eve plans, you better make sure that you're sipping that eggnog near a television, because there's some really, really good games. We've got a bunch of them here. Early games. Los Angeles Rams go to Tennessee. Hey, Tennessee desperately needs a win, and they are struggling down the stretch. I don't like the way they look. Even with Marcus Mariota healthy, there is just not enough around him. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Rams still have a chance for a bye, so they need to win. Both of these teams trying to get a win at Tennessee, not a bad game. Now, this next game should be a blowout. Miami goes to Kansas City to face the Chiefs. The Dolphins haven't been mathematically eliminated yet, but they're pretty much out of it. Then here's the thing. Jay Cutler never does what we think he'll do, right? Kansas City needs to get back on track for the postseason, especially their defensive front. It'll be interesting to see how Kansas City plays against Miami and Jay Cutler. That's at 11 a.m. also. Now, the next game, Buffalo goes to New England, and this is a playoff game for Buffalo. Buffalo wins against the Patriots. They give themselves pretty solid footing to get into the playoffs for the first time in 18 years. If they lose, all that pressure is on them to beat Miami next week and then hope other teams lose. Big game for the Buffalo Bills this week. Another early game. The Atlanta Falcons go to the New Orleans Saints. The Falcons are the final seed in the NFC. Detroit, Dallas, and Seattle are just begging for them to slip up. Meanwhile, New Orleans, they're trying to stay one up on the Panthers in the NFC South. This is must-see TV. Atlanta at New Orleans. High drama in this game. Another early game. The Los Angeles Chargers are trying to stay in the hunt. They go to New York to face the New York Jets, who are not very good. But here's the question that I have for you. With the Chargers needing a win desperately, at the Jets, who are kind of scrappy but not that great, how many interceptions will Phillip Rivers throw? Should be zero. I'm going to set the over-under at 1.5. Which way would you bet? 1.5. Or the same number of children that Rivers has usually per calendar year. So you can kind of figure it that way. A couple of late games. Jacksonville goes to San Francisco. Of course, Jacksonville clinched a playoff spot last week. But if Pittsburgh or New England would lose a game, Jacksonville would get a first-round bye if they can win this and keep winning. They are banged up a little, so a bye would really help the Jaguars. Meanwhile, San Francisco is battling. Like, we don't know why. They should just be laying down and getting a better draft pick, but they're battling down the stretch. This game might be better than you think. Jacksonville at San Francisco, 2 p.m. on Sunday. And then the last game probably worth watching on Sunday, it's the 2:25 game. The Seattle Seahawks go to Dallas to face the Cowboys. The loser is done. The winner is probably done too, but the loser is definitely done. The winner keeps their hopes alive, and you know Dallas, getting Ezekiel Elliott back, you know they have to feel like they at least have a chance to maybe squeak into the playoffs. Monday, Christmas Day, not a whole lot to tune in for. There is a college basketball tournament out in Hawaii, the Diamond Head Classic. I believe that'll maybe get to the championship game by Monday. Few schools out there, Middle Tennessee, Princeton, Akron. Let's see, Southern Cal is out there, Davidson, New Mexico State, Miami is out there. Miami, very, very good. And Hawaii, of course, is hosting it. That's not a bad tournament. So Diamond Head Classic out in Hawaii. The NBA Christmas Day game at 1 o'clock p.m., the Cleveland Cavaliers go to Golden State to face the Warriors. I mean, I don't know if that's a great game. Steph's out. Not sure if Draymond is playing, but it'll be a lot of hype and something for you to watch on Christmas Day. 2:30. We have the Pittsburgh Steelers facing the Houston Texans. I mean, Pittsburgh has to keep winning. They can't afford to feel sorry for themselves after that loss last week to the Patriots. And fortunately this week, they get to face Tom Savage, so that should help. Christmas night, 6 p.m., we have another NBA game that should be pretty interesting. Houston goes to Oklahoma City. We're not sure if the Rockets will have Chris Paul back. Oklahoma City, I'm starting to slowly see they might be getting better. Not sure. They might be figuring some things out in Oklahoma City. And then the final game on Monday night, Christmas night, the Oakland Raiders go to Philadelphia to face the Eagles at 6:30 p.m. This is probably going to be an ugly game. The Raiders are done. But, you know, I do want to see how Nick Foles looks again in a game that, honestly, the Eagles should dominate. Just kind of want to see how Foles looks going into the postseason. Hey, coming back, we have to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, like I said, Christmas is on Monday. If you go to the mall, go to a restaurant, pretty much go anywhere, you are hearing some Christmas music right now, right? Some people love Christmas music. Some people hate it. I kind of fall somewhere in between. But today, we are going to look at the songs that particularly get on my nerves. Just a quick reminder, make sure that you do any of that last bit of holiday shopping over at lootcrate.com/dailydose for all of the latest pop culture collectibles. They've got your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games over there. January's Loot Crate theme is called Discover, and it features items from Rick and Morty, X-Files, Harry Potter, and Westworld. Best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just enter Daily Dose in the coupon box. We will get you 10% off of your order. They've got all kinds of good stuff over there. Make sure you head over to Loot Crate and check that out. Today on the Daily Dose, we're going to do our top five. No, it's not really sports related. It's more holiday related because it's kind of a holiday week here, right? Now, what we are going to count down today is the Daily Dose top five worst Christmas songs. And I know, I can already hear you, some of you say, there's no such thing as a bad Christmas song. Notice that I'm throwing this out there. This isn't the worst versions, okay? It's not like, well, did you hear so-and-so sing this? Otherwise, I could just put Jessica Simpson or like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That would be really, really easy. For our list here, it doesn't matter who sings it. Like I said, if I'm just picking out bad versions, it's going to be like a top 500. This is pointed more at the actual song. No matter who sings this song, they aren't very good. And no, I didn't go pick the goofy songs. I didn't go get the Alvin and the Chipmunks or the All I Want for Christmas is Two Front Teeth or I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas or any of that. We don't want that. We know those are horrible. Except for Alvin and the Chipmunks, who is awesome. But I want to apologize in advance because I'm telling you right now, I am going to name some of your holiday favorites. It's not personal, but here's the thing I want you to keep in mind as I name these. I shouldn't even do this top five, honestly. It was a bad idea. I shouldn't be doing this one. I'm going to do it anyways. Here's the thing I want you to keep in mind as I name the Daily Dose top five worst Christmas songs, okay? As I step on your toes here over a song that you like, or you say, that song meant so much to me, whatever it might be. Here's the thing. There's a big difference between a good song and a familiar song. Just because a song is familiar, just because you know the song, I've been listening to that song since I was a kid, doesn't mean it's good. You might think, hey, I like that song. Do you? Do you really? Or are you just very familiar with that song? I'm just throwing that out there. Man, some of you are not going to be happy with these selections. I already know that right now. Okay, first song up. This one's going to anger some people right off the bat. I don't have a whole lot of, like, these are the more of the modern songs, but this one goes on my list. Okay, now you might be hearing that right now. Silent Night. You might be saying, what are you talking about? Blasphemer, how dare you put, that is one of my favorite Christmas songs ever. Silent Night, that is a great song. How dare you put it on the Daily Dose Worst Christmas Songs list? Here's my problem with Silent Night. Like, it's really, really, really slow. Like, it's super, super slow. If you played it at a funeral, people would be looking around going, like, can we pick this up a little bit? Like the corpse might be sitting up and saying, yeah, you know, I like the choice of music, but it's kind of putting me to sleep here. It's really, really slow. And here's the other thing. When you think about the lyrics of Silent Night and like who wrote them. So let's see, they're writing on songs. All right, I got a good idea for a song here. Let's see, Silent Night. Let's see, next, Holy Night. That's good, that's good, that rhymes. All is calm. All is calm. All right. All is calm. All is, what rhymes with night? Silent night. Silent night, holy night. All is calm. All is light. No, all is bright. All is bright. Like, what four-year-old wrote the lyrics to this song? I know that we are, like, connected to the song. Maybe you heard it growing up or whatever. Silent night's not a great song, and there's not a whole lot of spin that you could put on this song. Sorry, if Silent Night's your song, I apologize. Moving forward to number four on our list. please. And by the way, I don't have rights to these songs. Don't sue us for playing these songs because we're, you know, kind of using them here. But this is a horrible song. Like, this is a really bad song. If you don't know this song, first off, you're really, really lucky. The name of this song is called Mary Did You Know? Okay, and it's talking, obviously, about the birth of Jesus, and it's asking the mother of Jesus, Mary, did you know that your baby boy someday would be the savior of the world? Okay? Now, I hesitate bringing this one up. I don't want to go all Sunday school lesson or anything. But, like, when you were a little kid, you learned, like, how this story went, didn't you? If you didn't, let me fill you in. Prior to the baby being born, the angel comes to Mary and says, hey, Mary, here's some info for you. So the answer to all the questions in this stupid song that they ask on every single line of this song, Mary, did you know? Yes, I knew. Dumb, dumb song. That comes in at number 4. Moving on to number 3 of the worst Christmas songs on our Daily Dose Top 5 today. Here's another one. It's a bad song. It's a really bad song. And here's the thing. Like, I swear, I'm not trying to bang on the people that perform Do They Know It's Christmas for charity. I commend them for their efforts. Here's the problem with it. It's really condescending. Like, it's really pretentious. Here's some of the lyrics if you don't know them or if you're hearing them right now. It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade. And in our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time. But say a prayer. Prayer for the other ones. At Christmas time, it's hard. But when you're having fun, there's a world outside your window, and it's a world of dread and fear where the only water flowing is the bitter sting of tears and the Christmas bells that ring. These are the clanging chimes of doom. Well, tonight, thank God, it's them instead of you. Like, that song just depressed me. That's the saddest Christmas song ever. Here's the question. Like, can I ever be happy about anything ever? Because I know somewhere out there someone's suffering. Like, am I allowed to smile when I'm alone in the tub? Is there ever happiness in my life? Or every single time I'm happy, do I have to go, man, this is a really great day. You know what? I had a good day at work. I got a raise and my wife still loves me and I have healthy kids and everything's good. But man, somewhere in the world, there's suffering. Like, can I enjoy anything? And there's no redemption to this song. There's never a, hey, just keep those people in mind. Make sure you don't forget the little people. No. It's just never be happy again because somewhere someone is suffering. I don't like this song. Moving on to number 2. On our Daily Dose, top 5 worst Christmas songs. Okay, this song, let's start this song. This is a nice song. Like, this is a nice song. Good feel. Pleasant sound. Nice harmonies. Cute little concept. You know, she sings and then he sings. Except for one thing. I want you to do one thing for me as you listen to this song. I want you to imagine your teenage daughter is singing this duet, and she's singing it with, let's say, Harvey Weinstein or Bill Cosby. Yeah, it kind of changes the song a little bit, doesn't it? So when she says, so I'd really better scurry, beautiful, please don't hurry. Well, maybe just a half drink more. Put some records on while I pour. Say, what's in this drink? What? Is this the song? Say, what's in this drink? That's what the line is. She says, say, what's in this drink? Seriously, is this about Bill Cosby? I ought to say no, 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 sir. Mind if I move a little closer? Yeah, I don't want Bill Cosby singing this to anyone I know. This song is disturbing. It's surprising to me that in this PC world we're living in, Baby It's Cold Outside actually gets as much play as it does. It's kind of creepy. Like, everybody complained about that Robin Thicke song. This is right here, and it's been around for years. Yeah, that's going to come in at number 2. So what is our number 1 worst Christmas song? Hey, come on. What else could it be? Freaking Wham! Who else could it be? And I know what you're thinking. I like that song. I like that song. It's a catchy little song. I like it. Last Christmas. That's a fun song. And I know, its catchy little synthesized beat is cute, and George Michael is just belting it out. Hey, I get it. Enjoy the song. Don't let me stop you. I want to kind of remind you to think about how pathetic the singer in this song truly is. Because when you hear this song, last Christmas, I gave you my heart. But the very next day, you gave it away. This year, a year later, this year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. So this is some sad, pathetic fool pining for someone over something that happened a year ago? It even says, tell me, baby, do you recognize me? Well, it's been a year. It doesn't surprise me. It was a year ago. And you're saying, I'll give it to someone special. Wait a second. It's a year later and you're still singing to me? You're still not. How pathetic is this? No, no, no. Wham comes in at number one. And again, I don't care if you like these songs. You say, hey, Clint, I like these songs. That's still my favorite song. I'm okay with that. I'm just telling you, when you think about what Last Christmas says, it's kind of a pathetic song. Not to mention the fact, you know, it's by Wham. Hey, it is Friday. And not only is it Friday, it is the Friday before a holiday weekend. Hey, I know that we say thank you at the end of each show. Please understand, it is not a time filler. Believe me, we could easily have another sports take to put in here at the end. I say it every show because it is truly meant. Thanks to each and every one of you that listen. Thank you for subscribing to the show. Thank you to all of you that reach out through emails or texts or on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever it might be. Thank you for sharing the show with the people in your lives. To all of you, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Merry Festivus, whatever it might be to you. No show on Monday for Christmas, but we will have something special for you on Tuesday as we get back to a short work week. That's always kind of nice. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. From the Daily Dose to all of you, we wish you all a very safe and happy holiday weekend.
Hey, baby. Who am I?
This.
Say, Mama.
Daddy.
Alexa, play the Ting Tings.
That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name.
40 million songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. Start your 30-day free trial today. Automatically renews monthly or annually. Cancel anytime.